Take out your Bibles while you're standing. While you're standing, let us reverence the Word of God. Turn to Genesis chapter 41 as we look at our text this morning. Genesis chapter 41, and I'm going to read verses 28 through 36 for the sake of our time so that we can make sure we get through all this. Genesis chapter 41, verses 28 through 36. And the Bible reads, "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn into the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Today I want to talk to you with the thought, saving for a rainy day. Now, if you're joining us here for the first time, we've been in a series kind of dealing with financial money management. And we've been talking about money and we've been talking about finances. I believe that God has called us in a season to where we're supposed to be generous to the things that God has called us to do. But in order to be generous, you got to be in a financial position to be generous. Amen. And so for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been talking about debt. Somebody say debt. We've been talking about debt and we've been talking about finances and we've been talking about the reason that so many of us are in debt is because we're not on a budget. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be on a budget. Go and look at your other neighbor and say, you look like you need to be on a budget. You need to be on a budget. And we've been talking about the reason why so many of us are in debt is because we're not on a budget. And I know some of you are looking at me saying, why is this pastor up there talking about budgets and money and finances and all this stuff? Don't he know that we know what a budget is? I mean, I went to school. I know what a budget is. I don't need nobody to tell me what a budget is. But how many of you know that just because you know what something is don't mean that you actually doing anything with it? And what I'm finding out is that most of us are not using a budget. I gave the statistics last week or the week before that, who was it? Was it USA Today or it was one of those, U.S. Bank, let me get my thing, U.S. Bank gave a statistic that only 41% of Americans are using a budget. 41%. So you know what that means? That means 59% of us are not using a budget. Amen's going down already. That means 6 out of 10. Go ahead and look around. 6 out of the 10 people that you're looking at are not using a budget. Watch this. And you know what the problem is? Here's why I'm harping on this. Because you'll be quick to pray to God and say, I need more money. And many times the issue is not that you need more money. You don't have a money problem. You got a money management problem. And that's what I've been harping on for these last few weeks. You can pray, 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 but sometimes God ain't going to put no more money in your hand if you ain't taking care of the money that I already gave you, right? So we looked at this last time that most of us are going to fall in 3 different categories. When it comes to money and finances, it's not complicated. You fall in, everybody in here is in 1 of 3 boats. One is you spending more than you have coming in, and that results in debt. Y'all remember that? If your spending is greater than the amount of money that you make, you're going to be in debt. It's not complicated. It's not a complicated formula. If you, listen, I know that certain things happen out of our control and we can get into debt. But for most of us, if you in debt, it's because you're spending more than you have coming in. And that's some of us in here today. The second category is, it's people who spend, their spending is equal to how much they have coming in. And you know what that equals? Come on, go ahead and say bro. If you spending everything that you have, and you, come on, that's the truth. Some of us in here are spending every dime that you get, and then you wondering and praying about why I'm broke. You broke because you're not saving anything. And then the third category was for those whose spending is less than they make, and those are the people who are savers. Somebody say savers. Now, that's the category that God wants us to be in. He wants us to be in a position to where we can save and have money and do the things that he wants us to do. So today we're going to be talking about saving. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to be talking about saving. Come on. You need to save some money. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to save some money. Go ahead and look at him. You look and say, some of y'all look like you need to save some money. Now, why am I doing it? You say, Pat, why is the pastor of the church taking time to talk about saving money? I'm not asking you for money. I'm saying you need to save your money. Why is the pastor taking time to say you need to save money? Because it's a big problem. And the truth of the matter is, we not saving money. I read some statistics that said Yahoo Finance reports that 69% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. 69%. That means 7 out of the 10 people in this audience in here today ain't got $1,000 in savings. Go ahead and look around. See if you can identify who it is. There's 7 out of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The data don't lie now. It's a problem. There was a statistic, USA Today reports, you can Google it. 59% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 59%, that means 60%, 6 out of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck. That means if something happens that you ain't been planning for, you ain't gonna have no money to cover it. Market Watch reports, 4 out of 10, if faced with an unexpected expense of $400, would not be able to cover it. 4 out of 10, if the tire broke, if the AC broke, you ain't got the money to cover it. So why are we in here talking about it? Listen, we in here talking about it because it's a problem, particularly in minority neighborhoods, minority communities. Right? Come on, I'm encourage myself this morning. Because y'all know that's the truth. In our community, we known for looking good. Oh, boy. I got the gator skins on. My car looking good, the car tight. I got on all the right clothes. My hair is done or did, however you want to say it. My hair is did. Lashes done. I got the nice purse. But the truth of the matter is you broke. I tell my nieces that all the time. When you find a guy and he looked like he got it all together, he looked like he real sharp, be very careful. Be very careful because y'all know many times we flies. Come on, tell the truth now. Y'all know them jokes. Listen, some of these men walk around, boy, they look real good. Look like they just came out of the spa. Asking the bar $300. Somebody say $3. So we got to move past looking good. Listen what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:7 says this. There is one who maketh himself rich, yet has nothing. Y'all know sometimes you can make yourself look rich, but you broke. You have nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet has great. See, sometimes in some of the music that we listen to, it popularizes all of this stuff that many times they can't even afford. Y'all know a lot of them cars they don't own, right? They renting them cars. And in our community, it's a show thing. It's a show. Show what you got. Show everybody how much bling you got and everything else. Have you ever noticed if you go in real affluent communities, if you ever drive through, many of them don't have all the Lexuses and anybody know what I'm talking about? You drive up there, them folks got a Honda. I ain't nothing wrong with a Honda. I'm just. They driving. They got a minivan. They don't always have that. Why? Because when you got money, you don't have to. You don't have to show it all like that. Right. So we need to talk about saving. So I want to talk. And what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make it just as practical. I know this is simple. Listen, I know that it's simple. I'm telling you in ahead of advance. It ain't gonna be nothing that's so life that's something you've just never heard before. But what I found is with preaching is that if it's too deep, ain't nobody remember it anyway. Right? So the more simple you can make it, then the more likely somebody's going to actually do something with it, right? Okay, so what we're going to do, I just want to talk to you about some principles about saving, and I want to pull it from who I think is the best example in the Bible about saving. This is probably throughout the entire Bible. When I was thinking about it this week, this is the person who I think probably gives us the most principles about saving in the entire Bible. His name is Joseph. How many of y'all remember Joseph? Okay, for those of you who don't go to church, let me just kind of bring you up to speed. So Joseph was the son of a man named Jacob. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. Everybody heard of Abraham? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay, Jacob had a son. His son's name was Joseph. Joseph's mother was a woman named Rachel, who Jacob loved the most. He loved Rachel more than any of his other wives. He loved Rachel. And so when he had when Rachel had Joseph, he loved Joseph. He loved him more than any of his other children. In fact, he loved him so much, the Bible says that he favored him. He gave him all the favoritism. He even gave him this coat of many colors. And because of this, his brothers hated him. His brother hated him. In fact, they hated him so much that it said, the text tells us that they sold him into slavery and went and told his daddy that he was killed by an animal. Right? Okay, so Joseph is sold into slavery in Egypt. When he gets into Egypt, he starts doing well. He starts making money and doing stuff for his slave owner, right? And so the slave owner promotes him, and he starts having him take care of all his business and stuff. And how many of you know that when a man starts doing good, women start paying attention? I would have thought I had a couple men say amen, even though the women ain't going to say nothing. But when he started doing good, you know, he rising up in the ranks and everything, his slave master's wife started paying attention to him, and she made a pass at him. She tried to get at him, as we might say. And what Joseph did, he refused it. He declined. The text actually says that he actually ran from her making advances towards him. And when she ran, the woman couldn't handle that. Some of y'all can't handle that when a man tell you no. But how many know that women can be just as aggressive as men? Boy, I saw a couple men like... Women can be just as aggressive as men. So to make a long story short, that when the slave masters found out about it, he took him and he threw him into prison. When he threw him into prison, about the same time, the Pharaoh was having some problem with his staff. He had some problems with his baker and his butler. And so he got mad at him and he threw them into prison. And they were all in, let's just say, around the same cells. And so what happened was the butler and the baker started having these dreams. And they didn't know what the dreams mean. And Joseph was blessed with the ability to interpret their dream. So they told him the dream. To make a long story short, Joseph interpreted the dreams for him. He told him exactly what was going to happen. He said that the baker was going to die, but the butler was going to get out and return back to his same position. And exactly as he interpreted, it's exactly what happened. The baker died. The butler went back to his position. And he said, look, man, when you get out, hook me up with Pharaoh. Tell him about who I am, man. I'm not supposed to be up in here. But when the butler got out, he forgot all about Joseph. How many of you know that when we get put back on, we forget about the people that help us get? We forgot about them. So he goes back to his position. All right, one day Pharaoh has these dreams. I'm kind of bringing us to the text that you just read. Pharaoh has these dreams. He doesn't know what they mean. He tells all his advisors. None of his advisors can tell him what the dream means. And so nobody knows what it is. Pharaoh's getting upset. He's going to kill everybody. And then the butler said, oh, wait. I know a guy who understands dreams. He interpreted our dreams. And just as he said it was going to happen is what happened. Make a long story. So they go get Joseph. They bring Joseph out. Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream. Joseph interprets his dream. And that's what it was that you just read. He basically tells him, okay, there are going to be 7 years of plenty. And then at the end of the 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of famine. The famine's going to be real bad. So here's what you need to do, Pharaoh. You need to come up with something and set aside some food so that in the years of the famine that you'll be good and Egypt will survive. And if you know anything about the story, that's exactly what happened. They followed Joseph's plan. Egypt survived. Everybody made good because they followed his plan. Now, from that story, there are several principles about saving that I think we can use. I'm going to try to pull out as many as I can, but there are many in there that I'm not going to get to, right? But here's some principles. Number one, why is it that we need to save? Look at your neighbor and say, why do we need to save? What Joseph teaches us, the reason why we need to save, number one, is because there are going to be some years of plenty and there are going to be some years of scarcity, right? There's going to be some years where the sun is shining and there's going to be some years where there are going to be some rainy days. Right? Can I be honest? I know that for some of you, everything is going good right now. You got money in your pocket. You just got the promotion. You just got the new house. You got money in your pocket. Everything is going good. But I believe there are one or two witnesses in here that can testify that if you live long enough, that things don't always stay that way. Things have a habit of happening that are out of your control. And you got to learn to say, listen, your car right now may be operating real good. It may even be on warranty. But how many witnesses I got in here that can be honest that'll let you know that if you keep driving it, eventually that warranty gonna run off. Listen, I may even have one or two witnesses that can testify that even while it's on warranty, sometimes you may hit a curb and do something that's not covered under your warranty. And you're going to need some money. Your AC may be blowing like a blizzard right now. You turning on, ooh, I'm shivering cold. But how many know that if you live long enough and you keep running it, eventually you're going to turn that junk on and it's going to be blowing out hot air. Watch this. It's not a question of if something's going to change. It's really a matter of when it's going to happen, right? And so you have to learn to save for that rainy day. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 27, 23 through 24 says. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Why? For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure what? Now, what does that verse really mean? Remember, he says, be careful to be diligent about your flocks and your herds. Now, you have to remember during that time, your flocks and your herds was really your money and your income. They didn't have cash like we have now. So he's saying during that time, he says, be very careful about your flocks, your income, your herd, your money. Make sure you pay attention to it. Why? Because riches don't last forever. You may have money now, and that's the problem. Some of us got money now, and you're not thinking about what's about to happen in 3 months, 6 months down the road from now, right? So one of the reasons why you save is that you have to save for a rainy day. The second reason why you need to save is to make sure you lay down a solid foundation for your family. Watch this. See, some of us are living in such a way to where the only person that you think about is you. You spend all your money on you and your trips and your hair and all that type of stuff, and you're not thinking about the mother jokers that you're leaving behind. Watch this. The Bible says that you not only save for you, you also got to save for your family. Listen to what the Bible says. Go to the next one, Mike. Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance. Y'all know what an inheritance is, right? It says, how many good men we got in here, good ladies? He says, the good ones leave an inheritance for their children's. Not just for your children, but their children too. So that means you can't spend everything that you have on you. You also got to prepare for them. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. Can somebody say baby mama drama? Wait a minute. The Bible says that we not only supposed, you got to take care of yourself, but he says we should be positioning ourselves to take care of our children and our children's children. Watch this. I happen to believe that scripture is not just talking about while you alive, but I happen to believe that it's talking about even after you die. Would you agree that your children got to eat while you alive, but they also got to eat when you die? Come on, man. Amen's going down. So that means that you have to put yourself in a financial position to make sure that you got something to take care of them even when you get in the grave. I hope that my daddy doing that. So we need to save because rainy days are coming. The second reason is because we need to make sure that our families are straight. Now, what do we need to do to start saving? Okay, Pastor, you said I need to save. What do I need to start doing to save? Okay, two things that we see from the life of Joseph that he told Pharaoh to do. Number one, you need to come up with a savings plan. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a savings plan. You need a savings plan. Look at the other one and say, you definitely look like you need a savings plan. Now watch this. Listen. Come back with me. When you read the text, when you go back and read the story, for those of you who are familiar with it, I found it interesting that Joseph knew that trouble was coming. He knew that a famine was on the way. And when he knew about it, what did he do? Notice what he didn't do. He didn't tell Pharaoh, hey, man, don't worry about that thing. Just go ahead and keep living, baby. That's just the way how it is. Life is about cycles. Pharaoh, just live this thing up, baby. He didn't stick his head in the ground and act like it wasn't coming. One of the first things that he did was he said, Pharaoh, you need a plan. This thing is coming and you need a plan. And here's the problem with so many of us. Listen, you know that you're getting ready to retire. You know that your car eventually is going to break down. But amen's not going down. Say, Deke, come on, Deke, give me an amen. You know that your children are going to need clothes. You know that you're trying to buy a house. You know that all these things are coming, but yet you have no plan for when it's coming. And then when the disaster hits, Pastor, pray for me. The devil is coming against me. Lay oil on me. I need to slick it down. Bathe me in the oil. And everything is about the devil when you just hadn't prepared. You have no plan. Let me ask the question. What would have happened if Pharaoh wouldn't have planned for the years of famine? If he would have just said, let's just ride this thing out, baby, and see what happens. The famine would have come and he wouldn't have been prepared. Listen, you need a plan. Go to the verse. Listen what the Bible says. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to what? If you're trying to grow and be abundant, you need a financial plan. You need to get that business in order. And you know what I found is that if you don't plan to save, you generally don't do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you just winging it, you generally don't save no money. Watch this. And it's so simple to do. Let me give you an example because I tried to make this very simple. Put that up. Hopefully you can read this. I created this on my thing. Now, I want you to just think with me on this. You need a plan. Here you have a guy named John Doe. He makes $3,500 a month. Okay? He makes $3,500 a month. I mean, that's roughly $3,000 a month, $36,000 a year, $40,000 or so dollars a year. Right? He makes $3,500 a month. Watch this. His mortgage, you see all his expenses. We talked about this last week. You need to be on a budget. If you have not sat down and looked at your income and all of your expenses, I guarantee you, you have money leaking all over the place. Now, here's what I want you to see. His mortgage is $900, car payment $500, and all that. You see that going all the way down. His total expenses is $3,350. So we might say this guy's actually doing pretty good. He has an excess monthly income of $150. You see that? Here's my question. What could he do to save money? How might you advise him of how he can generate a lot of money? Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to go around the audience. I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up. Okay, one way he could do that is he could take the $150, keep doing exactly what he's doing, put the $150 aside. He would end the year at $1,800, right? You understand what I'm saying? He could take that $150 and put it aside, and at the end of the year, he would have $1,800. Or he could take that $150. Look at how much he owes on that car. How much does he owe? $2,000. If he took that $150, added it to the $600, the $500 be $650, how long would it take him to pay off that car? It'll take him about 4 months or so, and then he frees up that $500. Ooh, wait a minute. I got something even better. Watch this. What if he took the $400 for general upkeep? What if he took the $400 for clothes? What if he took the $300 for entertainment? What's that? That's $1,100. He took the $500 that he already paid on the car. That's $1,600. He take the $150, $7. How long would it take him to pay off the car then? And then, wait a minute. And what if he did that and he paid off the car and then he got student loan of $3,500, and he took all that, and then he used it and pumping it. How long would it take him to pay off the student loan? 3 months? Watch this. Here's the point. It doesn't matter whichever way he approaches it. The issue is you just need a plan to do it. Right? Because the plan is yours. Some of us in this room right now, you could be out of debt in 6 months. Really, Pat? Listen, if you sat down and looked at your money and came up with a plan, you could be out of debt in 6 months. I told you, or maybe I did, my wife and I have a plan to get out of debt by the end of this year. Y'all want to know why we sold that Mercedes, whatever it is she was driving, GLE or whatever that thing was? I showed it 2 weeks ago, whatever. You know why we sold that car? Because that car, you see what the remaining debit balance on that car? That was an $80-some-thousand car. Oh, but ain't nobody want to say amen. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you get serious about getting out of debt, you got to sell some stuff that's causing all the debt. And you know what we did? We sold that car, and we bought that little Kia Soul out there she's driving. And you know what we did with that car? We paid cash for it. And you know what it feels like when you ain't got to pay no car payment? Let me give you an example. Hey. It feel good. Listen, so what am I saying? You need a plan. Some of you, if you sat down and looked at it together, you and your spouse, or if you're alone, if you sat down and looked at it, you could probably be out of debt in 6 months. But you know, you have to prioritize. So you need a plan. Okay, let me move on. The second thing that Joseph did, you need a plan. The second thing that when you read in the text that Joseph did was, he said, not only do you need a plan, but you need somebody to oversee the plan. Do you notice in the story when he was dealing with Pharaoh, he didn't say, hey, Pharaoh, check this out. Why don't you just set aside some money and this thing will all work out? If you read in the verse, and I don't have my Bible in me, but if you read the verse, he tells Pharaoh, listen, you need to appoint somebody to oversee this for you, Pharaoh. It's not about just setting aside some money. You need somebody to oversee this. Watch this. And the reason why some of our plans never work is because nobody's overseeing it, making sure that it works. Nobody's accountable for making sure that it happens. You can have the most elaborate plan all you want, but if ain't nobody working the plan, it ain't gonna never work. You hear me? He says, listen, he says, not only do you need to appoint somebody to be accountable for the plan, it needs to be somebody who is wise and discreet. Did you see that in there? It talked about Pharaoh, you need to appoint someone who is wise and discreet. In other words, the person don't got to be an expert. He didn't say you need to find somebody who's a corn specialist. He didn't say you need to go find somebody who's an expert in this. He just says you need to find somebody who's wise and discreet. And you know what I found is that in every household, particularly if you married, there is somebody in your household who's better at money than the other one. I didn't say smarter. I just said they're better at it than the other person. In my house, that is me. My wife spends money that gives me heart palpitations sometimes. We go somewhere and it's like she has no comprehension of like, babe, do you realize how much you spent this much that day, and then on Tuesday you spent this? At the end of the week, you're going to spend $1,000. Oh, honey, I know all that. Well, just set a budget, honey. Just set a budget. Listen, somebody has to be in charge of the money. Listen, and there needs to be the best person to do that is the one who pays attention to the detail. In my house, my wife don't pay attention to nothing. The cable bill could be $2,000. She'd be, oh, okay, and just go ahead and try to pay for it. You know what I mean? So somebody needs to pay attention. You hear somebody? So in your household, appoint somebody to do it. If you're single, then you kind of got to do it yourself. But sit down, make a plan, and make sure you're accountable. Now, let me close with these points. I got about 10 minutes, and then we're done. I'm gonna work these in. So the question then becomes, how did Joseph go about saving the money? So I realized why I need to save money. I recognize some of the things I need to do. Now, how do I do it? Number one, when you look at the story of Joseph, the first thing he advised Pharaoh was, he said, do not spend everything that you receive. That's a key principle. When you read the story, it says that they're going to be in the 7 years of plenty, Pharaoh. Here's what you do. Don't spend everything that you have coming in. And as simple as that is, I recognize that it's simple. It's a big problem because for most of us, you spend every dime that you have coming in. When you get that paycheck, I don't know if anybody has ever had this happen before, but it's happened with me that by Wednesday, that money is gone. And I ain't talking about on Wednesday of the second week. I'm talking about on Wednesday of the first week. Y'all know most of us get paid every 2 weeks. If you ain't careful, you know, come on, be honest. You know that money got to last you for 2 weeks, right? So you got the budget, and if you're not careful, that money will be gone. And some of us, you're spending every dime. That's why you broke. You're spending every dime that you got. Y'all can look at me crazy all you want. But you're spending every dime that you got. You got that new promotion. And for some reason, the promotion means that I spend more money. But sometimes it's not for you to spend that more money. You need to save some money. Tax return season comes. But well, amen's down went down. Jay, I need another amen. Amen. When you get that tax return money, that don't mean you need to go spend all of that money. Okay, you didn't get it. Go to the verse right here. Look what the Bible says. It says, the wise man saves for the future. How many in here are wise? Okay, but notice what he also says. The foolish man. Now, the Bible said, like I can't say it. Now, I'm not calling nobody a fool, but the Bible say, if you spend everything that you get, you a fool. Will you take it from the Bible? It says if you spend everything you get, you're a fool. So first thing is, don't spend everything. Second thing is, you got to learn to save a portion of what you receive. When you look at the story of Joseph, the way how they saved for the years of famine, he took a portion. Look at what he told Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, in the years of 7 plenty years, take a fifth or 20% of what comes in and set it aside for the rainy day. In other words, you have to save a percentage, a portion of whatever comes in, you got to save. Now, notice he didn't say save everything that you have. He didn't say, Pharaoh, in year 1 or year 2, take everything, don't spend anything. How many know that ain't gonna work? He says, you got to take a portion of what it is that you receive and set it aside. Now, he told Pharaoh 20%, but 20% was for the entire nation of Egypt, right? So we may not need 20%. You may only need 10%, 5%. But the point is, you got to take a percentage of whatever it is that you have coming in and put it aside and save it. Now, I want to challenge everybody in here. One of the small groups that we're going to be doing this semester is Dave Ramsey's financial, Financial Peace Series, right? So if you're serious about getting your money tight, you can come to the Financial Peace small group. There ain't no money for it. There is no charge to come. The only money there is if you want to buy the materials, because you got to buy that from Dave. You understand? But you can come. Now, one of the first things that he recommends, if you are not a saver, is you need to establish an emergency fund. How many of y'all got an emergency fund? Don't lie in church. Don't even lie in church. He says one of the first things that you need to do is establish an emergency fund of at least $1,000. I would challenge you, if you don't have that, young, old, doesn't matter who you are, you scrape up $1,000. Why? That $1,000 is to cover any unexpected thing that happens while you're trying to do. How many know you lose jobs, the car breaks, the AC breaks, things just happen. You need an emergency fund to cover those different types of things. And then after you start paying off some of those bills, I believe that you got to work to save up 3 to 6 months of your expenses. What, Pastor? 3 to 6 months of expenses. Why? Because one day you may lose your job. See, and the problem is, I'm just being honest, some of us, everything is going good as long as them checks keep coming. But if you miss one or two of them checks, everything is gone, right? So you need to establish some money, emergency fund. Number three is, the third thing Joseph did was he set aside a portion of it. Listen, the third thing he told Pharaoh is, I'm closing, I'm almost done. I got 5 minutes. Y'all give me 5 minutes. The third, I'm watching my clock. The third thing that he did was, in the text, was that he saved his money over time. Watch this. True money wealth occurs over time. When it comes to saving money, time is your friend. If you notice, the way how Pharaoh in Egypt was able to save for the 7 years of famine was that they took the 20%, and over the course of 7 years, they had enough. They didn't have enough year one, year two, year three, but over the course of the 7 years, when the famine came, that's when they had the money ready. Your money grows best over time. Stop trying to win the lottery. You spend all your money. Listen, how many of you know that even the people who have won the lottery don't tend to keep that money long? The Bible says that money is really earned or built over time. What's the scripture, Mike? Go to scripture. Dishonest, Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Now, I got to give you this because I know we got to close, but I want to say this. If you work for a corporation, Shands, UF, Cox, North Florida, any of those corporations that offer a savings plan, a 401k, a Roth IRA, and you are not investing in it, I'm asking God for forgiveness, but you may be a fool. Why? Because what those plans allow you to do is to save money over time, and they will even match what you put in there. And if you're not doing that, you're kind of a fool. Let me give you an example. Put that up there. Y'all may can't read this, but I went online to put up a calculator to just try to give an estimation of what I'm talking about. If you look over there in the top left, if you started at $1,000, you put $50, you can do this online. Go to that website, Smart Access. There's many calculators you can use. But if you had $1,000, you put $50 biweekly over an annual rate of return of 8%. And we're talking about over the course of 30 years. You know, the market goes up and it goes down. But over an average of 8% over 30 years, you would have $173,000. Listen, That's just $50. That's $50 biweekly. That's $100 a month. Oh, Pastor, I don't know where I'm going to get $100 from. Really? How much you paying on that coffee? Amen's going down. Josh, where Josh? Dig, I need a Robert, give me an amen. Them coffees like $5 a cup? Times 30 days? And if you're honest, some may be getting two a day. $150, $150 a month right there. You could have $173,000. Some of y'all know you getting rich. See, here's the thing. See, when my parents was growing up, they didn't know no better. Right? Because some of that information wasn't necessarily given to them. Right? So they didn't know about savings and investment. But nowadays, if you ain't doing it, you a fool. Look at the next one. Go to the next one, Mike. Is that the same one? That's a different one. Okay. In the same scenario, if you take $1,000 and you invest $150, now instead of 50, 150 biweekly, so that's $300 a month. Over the course of 30 years, look at what you would have. $497,000. That's $300 a month. Don't tell me it can't be done, because some of y'all make this much money and more money. And even if you don't make that much money, it doesn't matter. You just need to be saving something. And over time, your wealth grows. Amen. All right, I had two more points, but I'm going to close here because I'm at 12:10. So we're going to close right here. Let's just get yourself prepared. Did y'all get anything from that this morning? Listen, so if you married, I want to encourage you, stop fighting each other. Go home, sit down, take out the work. If you newly married, some of you don't even have to be newly married. If you've been married for a long time and your money is separated, I touched on this a little bit, you're doing it wrong. Y'all need to stop fighting. Sit down. All your money should be in one pot. Amen. I need an amen from somebody. Amen.